Well, interesting, the last few days particularly, we've actually now got a chorus of people across Australia saying, listen, there's a real crisis coming the way of North Queensland from the 28th of March because a whole industry could be on its knees shortly afterwards if there is not a... people are saying extend JobKeeper, it's going to be something clearly different if it's anything at all, according to hints you hear from the top levels of the federal government. Now, let me just quote here. We heard from some people this morning. Alan Wallace was commenting, as was Bernard Salt, on the urgency. And there's an article here in the Cairns Post today by Mark Murray. It reads that a far north tourism leader has called on Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison to wake up and prepare a JobKeeper program geared towards the tourism and hospitality industry. This is Sail Away Port Douglas owner Steve Edmondson. Steve said the time's running out before businesses fall off a cliff, and he believes many in tropical Queensland feel abandoned by the federal government. I'll skip to a couple of paragraphs further on. Steve Edmondson employs 15 staff. He's managed to ride the bumps of the pandemic to this point. He said a new JobKeeper scheme was paramount to the survival of many in the hospitality and tourism sectors in the absence of international visitors. The most recent jobs data demography, conducted in November by Economy ID, shows about 1,275 people. This is just Douglas Shire, not just Port Douglas, this is Douglas Shire. 1,275, or 15.8% of the Douglas Shire population, were on Job Seeker or Youth Allowance. Look, fundamentally, they're just figures. It's the human side that's critically important here, because a whole lot of people rely on that income from the tourism industry, fundamentally for their survival up here. Steve's on the line, owner, operator, Sail Away. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, John and listeners.
I've got to say it's becoming a chorus, and I'm pleased about that. I mean, not many people were talking about it 4 weeks ago. Now you've got Scott Morrison engaged in the debate to a certain extent. Our federal member here in Cairns has done a wonderful job. Michael Healy, the state member, the other day, you go to the shadow treasurer also speaking out, specifically naming Cairns and Port Douglas. They're the real trouble spots for the future after the 28th of March. Tell me about your situation and what you see unfolding, or what needs to unfold.
I think part of this has been a concern. There's been a timeline for several months. The thing that's changed just recently is that reality that international markets might not resume till 2022. Now, that's really, really significant. So that only came up from, you know, Brendan Murphy and Paul Kelly just recently, and that's sort of sunk in. And this particular area is very attractive and very reliant on international visitation. Mm. So we can deal with pain, as in everybody has had to do, and disruption. That's a big deal, and there's certainly ongoing for our area here. But no international travel expected to another year after enduring a year already of significant impact is a real worry.
Now, can you step us through, because a whole lot of people are not involved in tourism, and they'll wonder why you're singling out that announcement about no international visitors possibly until 2022. Why is that so significant?
Well, 50% of our market is international, so we spent a lot of time and investment, and that was going so well and brings billions of dollars to Australia. So this area particularly, and the Great Barrier Reef, is an iconic draw card and attraction. The fact that that is so much time, you know, another year of going with 50% impact, and I'd ask anybody to think, what would that mean if they were a third or a quarter of their salary for 2 years? Mm. So we appreciate that there's good recovery and bounce back, and as the government have proposed, you know, maybe 90%, and there's a lot of factors they're saying are very optimistic and positive. I get all that, and that's wonderful. But if that was the case, why 10% might be abandoned, where we are just suggesting it would be absolutely fair for national health risk if these businesses that rely on people moving around freely and domestically are so impacted that they have that support to allow, to buy time to enable them to recover and continue to contribute. Because they're a very successful business. And the only issue is if you can't have your market, as I said, it's a trade embargo, trade sanction, you would normally take some responsibility and try and help that through. If you've put that impact on those businesses.
It was interesting listening to one of the leading figures in tourism nationally the other day putting the risk into context. I can't remember the exact figure, but I think it was $20 billion. A $20 billion industry could be so damaged if nothing is done to salvage the situation over the next few months. A $20 billion industry could be gone or largely gone.
Well, we also have people leaving the industry. So even the JobKeeper that we had at the beginning, which we absolutely feel was a very important and proactive way to address the fact that there's a problem. And we absolutely appreciate and thank the government for doing that. However, it's a no-brainer to think if you cut it off now when you've actually got more impact, nobody would have ever thought we're still in the same situation with such a massive impact in certain areas. So it's a targeted, JobKeeper 3 should be targeted to those that are based on eligibility now, because the people we've replaced who've lost out of tourism, we've re-employed people, but they don't come under that category. So it's really, you know, we don't need handouts. We just need support where appropriate to buy time whilst we have vaccine rollout and have domestic market and confidence to travel resume. Because at the moment, that's an all-time low. And it's an investment in a successful industry. And it's either you're eligible or not. And if you're not impacted, you wouldn't be getting anything. But there's a fair benefit to see. If in the national health risk, no people moving or restricted travel has affected these people, wouldn't that be appropriate to just buy some time?
Steve, when is Easter this year, by the way? I presume it's early April, is it? You must be holding your breath
Friday.
About how to get through to Easter.
Yeah, well, we will get through, but we've also got a history. You know, our biggest pressure is the people we employ. You just have a lot of responsibility, and the government have a responsibility to loving all their citizens and businesses equally. And if a few of them, because of their geographic position and the decisions that are made by the government, are so impacted, like, it's not much to ask. You know, we're not actually looking at being any drain. Any small business doesn't want debt or inefficiency. So that's how you survive. And the government to just target those where appropriate and where justifiable is absolutely mandatory requirement. It's not a lot to ask. And Easter, yes, that might be a little bubble. The bubble should be to tropical North Queensland. All those tourism, they could say, is doing well close to cities, we have a whole different challenge. As much as it's a disadvantage, it's also an attraction. Tropical and towards our winter. Nowhere else in the world looks forward to winter like we do here. So we have a lot on our side, but unless there's confidence for aviation to put those scheduled flights on, get people up here, it's just not going to happen. So I feel for other parts of our industry that are equally affected as we are in tourism, ecotourism, within aviation hospitality, and that is the livelihood and the lifeblood of North Queensland, which affects so many other parts of the economy. If you didn't even think you're in tourism, there's a knock-on effect, and that's what I interesting, as Bernard Saltz recognised, that there's a bigger picture here in play, and it's not that hard to manage, but you can't abandon it or think it doesn't count.
Exactly. Very well said. Stephen, thank you.
Thanks so much, John.
His name is Steve Edmondson. He's the owner-operator of Sailaway.